Say, Father God, right now, right here, I am about to receive fresh revelation of your eternal word. It will change my life. I'll never be the same. I'm ready to receive revelation. The entrance of your word brings light to my life, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Great to be with you this morning. What a great Sunday. 1 week ago, we got a call of desperation from Tracy and Jeff Delmonico. She had given birth to their brand new baby girl and had internal bleeding, and they were about to lose her. Literally, they told the family, we're doing everything we can to save her. Guess what? She's coming home today. Hallelujah. Give God glory. Amen. Woo! She's coming home. Hallelujah. Power of prayer. Literally, the power of prayer. And we'll let them testify at some later date. I won't take away their thunder. We want to say a welcome to Pastor Norm Beetler here, his lovely wife Nancy. They're living now in Tennessee. They are retired. Yeah, must be good. Must be nice. About the last year now, making their transition. They're home now with the holidays and with their family. So it's great to have you here this morning, and it's always good to see them. We had a chance to get together for a brief while yesterday. Hey, don't forget, tomorrow night is Christmas Eve, right? So we're having a Christmas Eve service here at 6 p.m. It's going to be actually a drama. You're going to love it. And it's Home for the Holidays under the direction of Miss Ashley Abrahamowitz and the music department and many others. And I think you'll absolutely have a great time with it. We'll conclude with communion, silent night, all the traditions. It's going to be a wonderful time. In and out in about an hour and 10 minutes. If you believe that, you believe in Santa Claus as well. Amen. Colossians, no, we will be out in an hour and 10 minutes. Listen, I'm going to go home and open my presents, so I am not going to stay here long. Go to Colossians chapter 3, please. Look at verse 16 with me. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Praise God. God is on the move. Amen. Hey, Adam, how you guys doing? Oh, my goodness, Don. Didn't see you guys. All right. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word spoken by, I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible, spoken by Christ, the Messiah, have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all its richness as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom in spiritual things as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody to God with his grace in your hearts. Let it have its home. I think that's a key word. Let it have its home. Let the word of Christ have its home in you. You know, a lot of people talk about going home for the holidays. Home is that place of permanence. It's that place of dwelling. And Paul writing to the church at Colossae and having them understand that the word is to have a place of permanent status in your life. Not temporary status, but permanence. A permanent status. And the word permanent can be defined this way. It means lasting or remaining without essential change. So when we begin to think about the Word of God dwelling in us in permanence, we can say it this way. Let the Word of Christ dwell in us in a way that remains without essential change. So no matter what's going on around us, the Word remains the same in us. It is constant, amen? It has no deviation, it has no change in it. And the birth of Christ, really, when you think about Christmas, the birth of Christ was the entrance of that Word into this earth. It is the entrance of that Word into this earth. Now, Psalm 119, 130, verse 130, says, "The entrance of thy Word brings forth light." Now, that word entrance is very, very important because the word entrance there actually means revelation or disclosure. So the psalmist is saying the revelation or the disclosure of your word brings light. Now, the word light there in the Hebrew is another very interesting word. We're going to put all these together so we can understand the significance of the birth of Christ. The word light means to establish favorable circumstances. So the entrance of your word, the revelation or the disclosure of your word, will establish favorable circumstances and peace, watch this, and relief from trouble. Now you understand that on that countryside, why the angels were crying out, Hosanna! Glory to God in the highest! You know why? Because it was the entrance, the revelation, the disclosure of God in the earth. And it was bringing light. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1 and 79 that we were all sitting what? In great darkness. But Christ was the light of the world. The light. In other words, favorable circumstances. God's saying, I want to give you favor. And not only do I want to give you favor, I want to give you peace, and I want to exempt you from trouble. So this is a powerful, powerful understanding about Christ being born in the earth. Look at John, book of John, chapter 1 and verse 1. So I know that verse. Look at it again. Look at it again, because in the context of what we're presenting, that Christ came into the earth, we know that Colossians says, let the word of God dwell in you permanently without essential change. Okay? And it's Paul's admonition to the victorious church. You want to be victorious, right? So let the word of God have permanent status without essential change, knowing that the entrance of the word, the entrance, the revelation and disclosure of God on the earth, Emmanuel, we were singing about it a few minutes ago. Look at verse 1. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God, Himself. Go down to verse 14. And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed His tent of flesh, lived a while. Lived a while. Now that's really important for us to understand. When Christ came into the earth, He was the disclosure and the revelation of God Himself. The entrance of Christ was that revelation and disclosure of God the Father and His love for this world. And the light that Christ bring was the light to all men. In other words, it was the favorable circumstance that God wanted to place upon a life. He wanted to bring peace to the earth through His entrance into this world. But notice what it says in verse 14. It says, and the word of Christ became flesh, human incarnate and tabernacle, fixed His tent of flesh, lived a while among us. So in other words, it wasn't a permanent home. Not in the flesh, because we know that 3.5 years after Christ's ministry, He was crucified, He was buried, raised up on the third day, He ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. In other words, He says, it's expedient that I go away, that He, the Comforter, may come. When He comes, He will guide you into all truth. So Jesus was only here in the flesh temporarily. But we find out in Colossians 3:16 that it's God's will that the Word dwell in you permanently. That the Word of God have its home in you. And that's why when we think of Christmas, we have to understand the logical steps of receiving Christ as your Savior and understanding then that His Word, permanency, His Word, His established dwelling of His Word in my life is testimony that I have received Christ as Savior. You know, a lot of people love Jesus. Amen? But not a lot of people love His Word. Now, I have a problem with that because I see His Word and Him as the same. So how can you say you love Jesus and you don't love His Word? Matter of fact, didn't Jesus say that? You say you love me, then... Come on, you're preaching real good. Keep what? Keep my commandments. He was saying, I and my Word are the same. So if you love me, you've got to love this word. We have to become word lovers like we're lovers of Christ. We're lovers of Jesus. So we see then in this scripture in John chapter 1 and verse 14 as well, and verse 1, that Christ lived among us. He lived a while among us, and he wants permanence. Now, the way he receives permanence on the earth is through regeneration. Everybody say regeneration. That means in order for Christ to have a permanent dwelling in this earth, somebody has to get born again. For him to have permanence, not just living a while here, not being a historical figure on the earth, but he now has to find a dwelling place. Regeneration. So when you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you open your spirit to a dwelling place to the Spirit of God. And you now tabernacle with the Lord. That is the miracle of Christmas. It is so powerful when we begin to understand this truth. Now, the Word is always seeking entrance into a person's life. The goal of the Holy Spirit is to enter permanently into a person's life with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is guiding us into all truth. He is revealing to us who Jesus is, who the Father is. He is guiding us to that place. So the Spirit of the Lord is always attempting to bring revelation. When you think of the word entrance, think of it as disclosure and revelation. So this morning, as we're reading the Bible, or we're talking about this morning about Christmas, we're understanding that the Holy Spirit in this room right now, how many believe the Holy Spirit is here in this room? He's here right now. So we welcome the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is attempting to guide the Word into your heart. Why? Because entrance of that Word, revelation or disclosure of that Word in your life. See, when you and I get understanding of the Bible, when we get revelation, when we get disclosure of, oh, that's what that means. Oh, I got that. Oh, that's powerful. Well, what does it do? It brings light. Now, get with me again, the definition of light. You want to write this down. The definition of light is to establish favorable circumstances. When you and I get revelation, when we have the entrance of the Word, it produces favorable circumstances and peace and relief. Everybody say relief. Relief from trouble. Now Jesus said in this world you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome it. So the entrance or the disclosure revelation of my Word will produce relief from trouble. That's why we have to be in the house of God to receive from the Holy Spirit revelation. God, give me entrance of your Word. So on that day that Christ was born, it was the revealing of God's plan for humanity. It was the disclosure. The entrance of Christ was the disclosure. And that the light of God, the favorable day of the Lord, had been preached and ministered. Go back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2. We understand as the prophet was receiving from the Lord, and the Spirit, this is Ezekiel talking, and the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me. Now that's powerful. When the word was preached, the Spirit entered in. The word will be quickened by the Spirit. And Ezekiel says, he set me upon my feet and I heard him speaking to me. Look at Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these details of prophecy shall fail. None shall want and lack her mate. In fulfillment, for the mouth of the Lord is commanded and the Spirit has gathered them. When the word goes forth, the Spirit is seeking entrance into that life. Why? To bring a revealing. For what purpose? light, the disclosure of favorable circumstances and the relief from trouble. Put that scripture back up, please. In Isaiah, look at this. Seek out the book of the Lord and read, not one of these details of prophecy shall fail, none shall want and lack her mate. In other words, you're going to mate with the Word of God. Now, when T and I mated, we produced something. And they're not all here today, but they're scattered abroad. We've got 4 children, and we've got 10 grandchildren, and we'll have more than that. But our mating produced. When the Word finds an entrance into your life, it shall not lack a mate. I like that. Now, don't get kinky on me, okay? Because this is the Word of God, and we're not dirty-minded here, are we? No, mating means you bring the Word into your spirit, and it produces through your soulical realm and your physical realm the manifestation. I like what Tina said yesterday in prayer, manifest, man I feast. When God manifests, it's like a feast. So when we mate with the Word, it produces results. Go to Isaiah 55. Watch this, because this is really important. Now follow along, step by step. Verse 11. You see, Christmas is more than tinker and you know, lights and tinsel and presents and eggnog and figgy pudding and all that stuff. Do we understand what God did for us during this season? And it says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. In other words, I will not put my seed in without it producing, because it will mate with the spirit of the person who's received it. In other words, when you receive the word, you can't help but produce. Watch, because this is powerful. Don't get me excited. I'm trying to be calm. It shall not return to me, boy, without producing any effect useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please and the purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Then he goes on to talk about, even as the rain comes down, the snow comes down, produces the fruit, God says it's going to produce, the effect of the rain will produce a growth. He said, so does my word. It will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. So there is no person in this room that has not received the word of God as a permanence in your life. That when the Spirit of God brings disclosure, that thing mated with will not produce. I don't care if it's an eating lack of money, joy, marital problems, children, place to live, direction in your life for your business. It doesn't matter, because when the word comes in about that thing, it always seeks to mate. It never comes in just to fall to the ground and be useless. So the word is active. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharp. So we see the word is eternal. It's all powerful. It's going to accomplish, ladies and gentlemen, its intent for which it was sent. When Christ came into the world, the Father didn't say, well, I hope somebody acknowledges him. I hope there's somebody on the earth that will receive him into their heart. The Father didn't do that. He knew that when he sent the word, according to Isaiah 55:11, there was a ready womb. Put your hand on your belly. You guys too, come on. I've got a ready womb. It's called my spirit. And so when God sent Christ on the earth, there was a receiving of that word, and there was a mating of that word. And that's why throughout the centuries, you can try to destroy it, burn it, you can try to kill it, imprison it, you can threaten it, you can chain it up, you can cause it to be exiled. It doesn't matter what you do with it, because it constantly will look for a mate, and it will produce over and over again. You know, a lot of people are talking about today how the Muslim faith has taken over the world. Listen, I'm not worried about the Muslim faith. Hallelujah. I told people for years, Roman Catholics make some of the best born-again Christians I've ever met. I'm not afraid of Roman Catholics. I love Roman Catholics. I love Muslims. Why? Because they love God. What do they lack? The entrance of the Word. You get that Word in them, what's going to happen? That's right. You give them the revelation and the disclosure of this Word, who is Christ. They get that revelation. They've already got the passion. They've already got the zeal. They've already got the hunger. They've already got the devotion. They've already got the single-mindedness. Glory to God, put Jesus in that group. What do you think is going to happen on this world when these Muslims begin to get the disclosure and revelation of the eternal Word of God? It's going to transform nations. You follow me? Some of you do. Some of you look bored. That's all right. All right. The shepherd and the wise men, watch this. The shepherd and the wise men didn't witness a birth as much as they witnessed a disclosure, a revelation. We've so many years removed now and so many Christmas pageants. I mean, I love the baby Jesus. Okay? But Christmas is not about a baby Jesus in swaddling clothes. I'm sorry, I don't want to blow out your Christmas tradition. But, you know, you can take that ceramic Jesus and put him back in the closet. It has nothing to do with Christmas. We have become so emotionally tied to these Christmas traditions that are really non-consequential. They have no impact on us other than our humanity, our solical, feel-good relationship with the season. We've got to look at it, the truth from it, in that Christ was disclosed on the earth. Revelation came. Looked for permanence. When I got regenerated, born again by the Spirit of God, I am now God's mate on the earth. Well, you're the bride. He's the groom. Amen? All right. Now watch. Every time the Word of God goes forth, the Spirit is always going forth, is going forth as well. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord. Eyes of the Lord. What is it doing? It's going to and fro throughout the whole earth, showing himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him, those who have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars. In other words, he's saying, I'm looking for somebody who will receive my word. When they receive it, I will show and disclose my power in that word. So we become word lovers. Now, you know, when the word is preached, even this morning, I'm just going to say this to everybody in this room. If you're sick in your body, you can be healed as I'm preaching. Not because I have any power in me. I have none. Zip. But I have words of God in my mouth that are being preached. I'm reading scripture. You say, well, so? Well, let me tell you something about that word. When that word is spoken, we were just doing a study recently, right? They have found now that when a person looks at a neutron, it makes it move. Electron. You don't even have to say anything. You just look at it and it begins to move. It changes its position. When you begin to speak to them, they even rapidly increase their change. We don't recognize the power of the spoken word. But when the word is going forth, you could be healed right now of your sickness and disease. You can get a breakthrough financially this morning, right here sitting in church. You can get understanding from God's word that will give you a witty idea or invention that will transform your life into a multimillionaire status. You say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, then it won't change you. But God's looking for mates. God's looking for somebody that will receive him. And you can receive it right now. Let me just tell you about this in Acts chapter 14, verses 8 to 10. In Acts chapter 14, watch this, verses 8 to 10. In Lystra, a certain man was without strength in his feet, was sitting a cripple from his mother's womb and had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. What do you think Paul was saying? Paul was speaking the word of the Lord, right? Paul was speaking the word of the Lord. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet, and he leaped and walked. In other words, this man locked into what was being spoken. And because he locked into what was being spoken, faith erupted in his heart, and suddenly he was not lame any longer. Go to Acts chapter 10. You'll see there in that particular scripture. Peter was preaching to those that had not heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it says, and while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those that heard the word. And what happened? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. In other words, just the preaching of the word caused the manifestation in their life. You see, that's why you and I have got to learn to speak the word of God. Why? Because it will cause a manifestation. It's a disclosure. It's a revelation to that which right now doesn't understand what it's supposed to do. Your body doesn't understand that it's supposed to be in health. The only way that it could be in health is if for you to talk to it out of God's word and tell it what it's supposed to do. And so your spirit wants to mate with the word of God. Instead of saying Merry Christmas, we ought to say have an impartation of Christmas. Because Christmas is really an impartation. It's an impartation of God's power. It's a disclosure. It is an introduction establishing a favorable circumstance in our life and a relief from trouble. Now let me give you three, real quickly, let me give you three indications that you've encountered Christ. Let me make this real clear, because if you haven't encountered Christ, if you haven't encountered the Word, you won't have these manifestations. But if you have, you will have all three of these manifestations. The first one's found in Luke chapter 2, and I believe it's in verse 10. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. They began to confess with their mouth what was happening. The angels began to make a declaration over the earth. I bring you good tidings of great joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy. There's going to be a release of peace on the earth to all the people. They begin to make declarations. What happened is because the first indication that you've encountered the Word of God or the Christ or of Christmas is your confession will change. Now you want to write that down because some of your confessions have not changed. Now I understand emotion and I know emotion. I am an emotional person. And there are times when I am feeling very emotionally pulled downward. Have you ever felt that way? So I know that. But oftentimes, if I'll come to a hospital call or I talk to a family that's in crisis, they say to me, well, I hope so. I hope God will do something. You know, how long have you been coming to our church?
Right.
You know, we've got to get this straight. It's not hoping here. There's a declaration that has to come out of your mouth. In tears sometime, right? In tears. I mean, you're so pained and you're saying, my God, I don't know if this baby's going to live or die. Well, you're inside, but your words don't say they're going to die. Your words are, he's going to live and not die. I'm going to believe. Now, sometimes you need somebody to help prop you up. You need somebody to help prop you up. But the confession ought to be there. Why? Because Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34 says, you brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, if Christ has a permanency in your heart, then you want to line up your mouth with your heart. You want to line up your mouth with your heart. If the revelation is in your heart, you've got to have your mouth give witness of that revelation. So I want to begin to give a revealing, a disclosure of what's in my heart. Jesus said, out of the mouth, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart will speak. We release the power of Christ, or Christmas, if you will, by what we say. Proverbs 18:21 says, the power, life and death, is in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So death and life reside on your tongue. That's very powerful to me. Death and life are right here in my tongue. Now, I have been serving the Lord for a long time, but I have to be reminded of this every day. Because my natural tendency is to do the opposite. I'm telling you, I'm being real transparent with you. I have to fight through this. Partly because of the way I was brought up. Partly because of my personality. Partly because of my influence by my parents. It doesn't really matter. But I have to fight it every day of my life. And I know that if I have to fight it, don't stand there or sit there this morning acting like you got it all together too. You don't either. So we need to hear this again to recognize that the power of life and death is in the tongue, is in the power of the tongue. And so it changes our confession. Number two, it changes our worship. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 11a. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. They fell down and worshiped him. When the word comes into your life, you have no choice but to be a worshiper. You will worship him. Now, what does it mean to worship him? Some people say worship is singing songs. I don't agree with that. Because I believe you can sing a lot of Christian songs and never really be a worshiper. Here's my definition of true worship. It's not only fulfilling your purpose and destiny in God, because I think that's part of it too, the beauty of holiness. But I believe it's when your spirit has been regenerated and you are communing with the Holy Spirit. That is the highest form of recognition unto God, is to say, Lord, I hear your voice, God. I hear your spirit this morning. In other words, when we line up our spirit with his spirit, you're worshiping. And I don't have to be singing to do that. Now, singing sometimes helped me do that because it focuses my mind on that point of entrance of Christ in my life. But you become a true worshiper. John 4:24 says that God is seeking worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, I worship in commune with God's spirit, and I worship when I receive the word and I'm obedient to it. That's my worship unto God. So, you know, clapping hands and shouting and jumping and all that, you could be a demon and do that. Right? Is that true? You could be an unbeliever and do that. So God's not moved by our flesh. God's not moved by our flesh. I just want you to know that. God is not moved by our sanctity, our piety. God's not moved by that. God is moved by a heart, by a man's spirit. God looks upon the spirit. That's how he judges and evaluates a man and upon a woman. So, you know, some of the most obnoxious and loud Christians in their worship are probably one of the most distant from God. You know, it's an amazing thing. You get some people that are trying to make up for what they don't possess. Have you ever, you know, never mind. So God's not moved by that. But being born of the Spirit makes you a spirit. It brings your spirit alive. So now I am a spirit living in a body possessing a soul. And I have to line that up. And when I line that up, that's true worship. Number three. Found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 11b. We just read 11a. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I believe that a person who has received Christ, a person who has received that word, who is in the posture of mating with the word of God, who is in communion and worship, spirit to spirit, who is making declarations and confessions and aligning their mouth with what deposit has been in their heart, out of the abundance of the heart, is also a person who opens up their treasure bag. Who opens up their treasure bag. Now, Judas was a man that opened up Jesus' treasure bag. And there's a lot of Christians today who want to come to church and get the treasure bag stuff out of Jesus' treasure bag. We want God to bless us. There's nothing wrong with that. God will bless us, but not out of alignment. So these men opened up their treasure bag to God. Now, what does that mean? It means this. It means that they gave whatever they have in the way of talent. They gave whatever they had in the way of gifts to offer. You see, everything done for Christ ought to be on a level of excellence. Can I say that? What do I mean by that? When I say a level of excellence, what do I mean by that? If you're going to sing a song, you sing it to the best of your ability, or you don't do it. If you're going to teach a class, you come with the anointing on you. You know your lesson. Your class is prepared. It's clean, it's ready to function, or you don't do it. So it's in excellence. See, what we've done is we've not opened our treasure bag and given it to Christ. We've opened our treasure bag and we give it to ourselves. We want what's best. You know, a lot of churches, and really, the church ought to be more extravagantly decorated than any home represented that attend. It really ought to be. Our homes ought not to be nicer, more luxurious, more comfortable than the house of God. And so why is that? Well, Haggai said something about that. You lived in paneled houses and the house of God is in you know, it's, you know, so we have to put things in priority. We need to understand that to be a extravagant giver means that I want to give to God everything out of extravagance. I want him to have the very best of my day, the very best of my life, the very best of my offering, the very best of my efforts, because he deserves it. Amen. So they brought gold and frankincense, and they brought myrrh. And it says that they were wandering outside. What it means is they've gone beyond the boundaries of average. To be excellent in worship, to be excellent or extravagant, is to go beyond the boundaries of average. No Christian ought to ever offer anything average. It ought to be way above, way beyond the normal. Way beyond the normal. Because we have been touched by the eternal word of God. It means to lavish and be exorbitant upon God. To be lavishing upon him all that we have to give him. I want to say today that he came into the world in order to invade your world, not to observe your world. He came into your world to invade your world. Become a word lover this morning and become marked by God, that you have a confession, that you have a worship heart, and that you are a person who is an extravagant giver. This week, I was so blessed by Feed the Hungry. I remember the first time I met Dr. Lester Sumrall. It was just shortly after he received the revelation in Jerusalem in 1987 at the Hilton Hotel. God woke him up in the middle of the night and said, "Feed my people." He said, "Lord, what do you mean?" He said, "I want you to go to the nations and feed the people and then preach to them." And so he began doing that. He bought a ship. He bought a C-130 aircraft from the military, the first time anybody had ever purchased one of those. I helped him in a crusade in Nicaragua, and we brought 1.2 million pounds of food. Have you ever seen 1.2 million pounds of food? I walked into warehouses to the ceiling, huge warehouses, like this room, just filled with food. As far as you could walk, you can see 1.2 million pounds of food. I watched people that stood in line miles long, 4 and 5 miles long, hours in the hot sun, waiting for one blue plastic bag of rice and beans because of their hunger level, and how God ministered through that vision and still ministers today, how we minister to those that are hungry. And this week, as we made a phone call and said, "Is there any way you have any food that you can do a food drop in our county?" They said, "Yes, we'll be there. When do you want it?" "Well, as soon as you can. How about Thursday?" This was Tuesday. I guess, yeah, that's good. Matter of fact, why don't you put it up on the screens? I think we have a little video clip showing that.
We're going to take some food over to the Love Center right now. The truck just got here about a half hour ago. It was filled from back to front. What'd he say?
As we all.
Amen. The Lord is good. You know that the day before that, I was watching the news, and they said that there was no food all across the nation. All the food pantries were empty. And there, that next morning, a truck showed up. And I'm telling you, the warehouse is full of food. and it was just a great thing. Thank you, Tom, for listening to the Lord. We want to receive an offering. Hey, did you watch the news? Did you see where one customer, I believe it was in New York City, went to Starbucks and they paid for the coffee, the person next to them? And it reproduced itself so many times over that eventually it was like 1,500 cups of coffee were purchased in donation. They were just paying for each other's coffee. By one act of generosity, it sparked just a generous heart to give. And that's what you do here. I just want you to know that. This week, me and Minister Jason were able to go and minister to a family from your giving. 38-year-old woman died, and she left behind 4 children. And we were able to go, and because of your generosity, we took gifts with us to every one of those children. Not just one, but Patty Starman packed up a bunch of gifts, and we blessed them because of your giving. That truck that you saw there, all we had to do is pay for the shipping. I'm going to give you an opportunity to give to missions this morning. Sometimes we have this thing in the back of our minds where we don't really think about it till it's in our face. It's in this room, church. There's local missions in this room that need you. We minister to children down the road. We also minister to our family. And if you want to give this morning, you want to give an opportunity to do that. We just want to be a blessing. This afternoon, we're going to give. And we're going to go over and bless the needy in our community, the homeless over in Coconuts. We're going to feed people and bus them in. And Jim and Amy Cook and Larry Atkinson and the family. Larry spearheaded it some 3 years ago. And now it's got to this point where we just bring them in and we're going to feed them. Give their kids gifts and bless them. If you'd like to be a part of that, this is an opportunity for you to give. Don't feel any pressure. Can we do that this morning? If you feel so inclined, let's pray for it this morning. Lord, thank you for blessing us so generously, so richly. We're truly a blessed people. Thank you, Lord, for this house. Thank you for this family, Church on the North Coast family. Thank you for the love we feel for one another. We know that we have family in this room, Lord. Just pray that this gift that we're offering make a difference. We know that it does, God. Take it now and feed the hungry. Clothe those who are naked. Give hope to those who are hopeless. May they see Christ in it. May thousands upon thousands see Christ in this gift. We bless you with it now. Jesus, thank you for dying for us, for the life you gave. We were born to die that we might live. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You stand to your feet, everyone. After you've given, can you stand to your feet? I don't want you to stand before, or you could do it now. It doesn't really matter. I'm sure you could pass that little thing and stand. Let's fall in love with him again, church. Let's fall in love with him again. This morning, if you need ministry, we want to make that ministry available to you. Over there in that living room, to your left, in the front there, our altar ministers will be there. If you need personal ministry, if you need a word from the Lord, or you have a specific prayer request, our altar ministers are going to meet you over there. They're going to agree in prayer with you. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, to your right, in the front there, in that living room setting, our altar ministers are going to be there, and they want to pray with you there. Can we close in prayer today? as a church. Altar ministers, if you can make your way forward. God, we just bless you. You're an amazing God. We thank you for your richness over us this morning. We thank you for the word that was spoken that transforms us. We thank you for sending your son to die for us. I pray you would minister right now. Holy Spirit, minister right now. Healing. Fall right now. In the name of Jesus. Cold hearts growing warm to the Lord again right now. In the name of Jesus. The love of the Savior. Embracing someone right now who feels unlovable. Forgiveness released right now. In Jesus' name. Can you grab the hand of the person to your left and right? Let's pray for one another as we leave this place. Lord, we pray for the person's hand we hold right now. Lord, we release power, the living God, into their life. We speak provision into their life in Jesus' name. And as a prophet, Lord, we declare this morning we frame their world. We declare by our faith today that every need is met in their life today. We rebuke sickness, disease, premature death, poverty, lack, insufficiency. We declare the abundance of God into their life. Prophetically, we declare it. And as a prince of this world, God, that is sent from heaven, Lord, we sit at the right hand of heaven beside Jesus with you. And we are kings and priests upon this earth. And as one who has that authority, we speak and open our mouth today and declare for the person's hand we hold. We declare health and healing in Jesus' name. We rebuke depression in Jesus' name. We declare, God, that every need is met. We thank you, Lord God, this morning that we are princes. We walk, Lord, as princes in the earth. We are confident in the Lord and the power of his might to perform his word upon the earth. Lord, as princes this morning, we open our mouth. We agree in faith for your promises for our life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for souls being saved in this region. We speak to this region right now and declare growth, economic development in Jesus' name. We take authority over the principalities and the power of the air and say Jesus Christ is Lord over the northeastern Ohio region. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for love. Thank you, Lord, for in our homes, there are sanctuaries of love, tabernacles of peace. Our children are strong in the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that they are strong in the Lord. The word of God is abundant in them, strong in them. Give you praise this morning and bless the person's hand we hold and bless their life. May they feel it this week, God. As we celebrate your coming to the earth, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, come forward. If you just want to spend time at the altars, you're welcome to do that. Remember, our living room's to the left and right. And as our pastor always said, live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll see you tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, our Christmas Eve special.